worn noose that had been used to hang a man in England at the turn of the century, Aleister Crowley's childhood chessboard, and a snuff film. Of all the items in Jude's collection, this last was the thing he felt most uncomfortable about possessing. It had come to him by way of a police officer, a man who had worked security at some shows in L.A. The cop had said the video was diseased. He said it with some enthusiasm. Jude had watched it and felt that he was right. It was diseased. It had also, in an indirect way, helped hasten the end of Jude's marriage. Still, he held on to it. Many of the objects in his private collection of the grotesque and the bizarre were gifts sent to him by his fans. It was rare for him to actually buy something for the collection himself. But when Danny Wooten, his personal assistant, told him there was a ghost for sale on the internet and asked did he want to buy it, Jude didn't even need to think. It was like going out to eat, hearing the special, and deciding you wanted it without even looking at the menu. Some impulses required no consideration. Danny's office occupied a relatively new addition, extending from the northeastern end of Jude's rambling 110-year-old farmhouse. With its climate control, Office Max furniture, and coffee and cream industrial carpet, the office was coolly impersonal, nothing at all like the rest of the house. It might have been a dentist's waiting room, if not for the concert posters and stainless steel frames. One of them showed a jar crammed with staring eyeballs, bloody knots of nerves dangling from the backs of them. That was for the All Eyes on You tour. No sooner had the addition been built than Jude had come to regret it. He had not wanted to drive 40 minutes from Pycliff to a rented office in Poughkeepsie to see to his business, but that would have probably been preferable to having Danny Wooten right here at the house. Here, Danny and Danny's work were too close. When Jude was in the kitchen, he could hear the phones ringing in there, both of the office lines going off at once sometimes, and the sound was maddening to him. He had not recorded an album in years, had hardly worked since Jerome and Dizzy had died, and the band with them. But still the phones rang and rang. He felt crowded by the steady parade of petitioners for his time and by the never-ending accumulation of legal and professional demands, agreements and contracts, promotions and appearances, the work of Judas Coin Incorporated, which was never done, always ongoing. When he was home, he wanted to be himself, not a trademark. For the most part, Danny stayed out of the rest of the house. Whatever his flaws, he was protective of Jude's private space. But Danny considered him fair game if Jude strayed into the office, something Jude did without much pleasure, 4 or 5 times a day. Passing through the office was the fastest way to the barn and the dogs. He could have avoided Danny by going out through the front door and walking all the way around the house, but he refused to sneak around his own home just to avoid Danny Wooten. Besides, it didn't seem possible Danny could always have something to bother him with, but he always did. And if he didn't have anything that demanded immediate attention, he wanted to talk. Danny was from Southern California originally, and there was no end to his talk. He would boast to total strangers about the benefits of wheatgrass, which included making your bowel movements as fragrant as a freshly mowed lawn. He was 30 years old, but could talk skateboarding and PlayStation with the pizza delivery kid like he was 14. Danny would get confessional with air conditioner repairmen, tell them how his sister had OD'd on heroin in her teens, and how, as a young man, he had been the one to find his mother's body after she killed herself. He was impossible to embarrass. He didn't know the meaning of shy. Jude was coming back inside from feeding Angus and Bon and was halfway across Danny's field of fire, just beginning to think he might make it through the office unscathed, when Danny said, "Hey, Chief, check this out." Danny opened almost every demand for attention with just this line, a statement Jude had learned to dread and resent, a prelude to half an hour of wasted time, forms to fill out, faxes to look at. Then Danny told him someone was selling a ghost, and Jude forgot all about begrudging him. He walked around the desk so he could look over Danny's shoulder at his computer screen. Danny